Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Will the water crisis be the knockout punch for Flint? How does this city remain standing? You may remember Flint native Michael Moore's documentary, Roger and Me, about how GM largely pulled out of Flint. 80,000 jobs were lost. Then there was the recession, and now Flint often tops just about every worst list, from homicides to poverty to water. It wasn't always so. Four generations of Gordon Young's family grew up in Flint. He lives in San Francisco now, but is still very connected with his home city. And he recently wrote a book about it called Tear Down, Memoir of a Vanishing City. So, Gordon, your thoughts when you hear, oh, no, now poison water.
Well, sadly, although this is maybe the most catastrophic thing to happen to Flint lately, it's just another in a long list of things that have happened to the city. And the cause of this is that when you lose those 80,000 GM jobs and there is nothing done at a state or federal level to fix that problem when it happens, you're going to have this series of problems. Flint, as you mentioned in that laundry list of disastrous things that have happened to the city, there's also a huge arson problem. At one point, there was a serial killer who was originally from Israel. And at that point, you're kind of wondering, how do these things happen to Flint? But It's not that surprising when you consider that Flint's a shrinking city with a shrinking tax base, a lot of unemployment, and there's been nothing done to really fix that problem or ameliorate that problem. Yeah. And when that's the situation, bad things are going to happen.
Well, it's one of the rustier nails in the rust belt. So many cities that have lost what used to be manufacturing jobs in the Northeast, in, the Detroit, Flint, Michigan area. Tell us what it was, though. You remember.
Yeah, I'm 50 years old now. I graduated from high school in 1984. So I got the tail end of the prosperity that was in Flint. In the 1960s, there were 200,000 people there. People find this really hard to believe, but Flint had one of the highest per capita income levels in the nation and a very broad middle class when there was full employment at the GM factories. And for instance, when I was a kid, I went to something called Safetyville, which was a little tiny city with little tiny gas-powered cars that you could drive around and you learned to drive. It was how you got introduced to Flint car culture. I had a license. I got some moving violations. I knew how to parallel park a car when I was 8 years old. And by the time I was in high school, my friends and I were exploring abandoned buildings in downtown, including the Smith Bridgman's department store, which at one point was owned by one of the wealthiest men in the United States. So that's a very short time span to see a city go from this very prosperous place to one of the poorest places in the country.
Well, as we said, you moved to San Francisco, you had your life there, but you decided to come back to Flint, and we'll just synopsize, you write this great book about it, but you want to buy a house there, and you meet people who are living in burnt-out shells of homes. You see trees, growing through homes that aren't abandoned. People are living there. But you discover what? What do you discover about the people that are left?
Well, one thing I saw is if you hear all this bad news about Flint, you're probably thinking everyone's given up on this place and trying to get out. But what I found were hardworking, dedicated people who loved Flint, and they weren't leaving. They were determined to try and help their city. And I think some of that is because they remember what Flint was like when it was a prosperous place, when there was a broad middle class, when it was a great place to grow up. And they've hung on to those memories. And, Flint's a tough town. These are stubborn people. They're not going to give up on the city, although many have left, obviously. But I found people who were dedicated to neighborhoods that if you drove through them, you might think they were completely abandoned.
Yeah. Tell us one thing, Gordon. I heard a heartbreaking report on Markham Place, a mother who, yes, she blames the officials who maybe looked the other way when this poisoned water was coming in, this lead poisoned water, but then she can't sleep at night because she's the one who handed the cup of water to her children. And so she feels she poisoned them as well. What's the one thing that you would like to see happen for this city? You say the state and nobody's doing anything for it. What's the one thing?
What the state has done is tried to budget cut their way out of Flint's problems. So what I'd like to see is the state and the federal government, for them to stop being what I think is penny wise and pound foolish. They're just cutting, cutting, cutting. They've cut the police force in Flint, which maybe not the greatest idea to cut the number of cops on the street in a city that's the most dangerous in the United States. They've cut the fire department in a city that has an astronomical arson problem. And I feel if the state and federal government invest some money in Flint and try and stabilize it, they'll save money in the long term. And of course, now they're in a situation because they wanted to save a little money by switching from Great Lakes water to water from the Flint River, which for many decades was basically an industrial sewer for the auto industry. They now might have to pay up to $1.5 billion, is one of the figures I've seen, to fix the infrastructure and fix the pipes that have been damaged by the switch to Flint River water. And so I would ask that the state and federal government approach Flint like they would approach a city in Florida that's been hit by a hurricane. This is a slow-moving disaster. It's the equivalent of a natural disaster, and it should be treated as such.
That's Gordon Young. He grew up in Flint, Michigan, and wrote the book Tear Down, Memoir of a Vanishing City. Gordon, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Like a city hit by a hurricane.